B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Put it up.
Bob Cooney. Jamie Lynch. And Sam Wilson. Now, start your day with Farzetta and Trey on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, happy Monday, and welcome in, everybody. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you. Ah, oh, what a weekend of watching football, right, guys? Good times. Everyone fine weekend? All that fun stuff?
Beautiful weekend.
Little funny occurrence, Bob. You were there.
I bet you this involves family.
It actually does not.
Oh,
well,
all right.
Semi, because my parents came up yesterday into the city. They ventured south from Bucks County and came into the city. But no, Trey and I had similar weekends.
You did? Very interesting.
Jamie sees my wife post a picture of me and Lil Toots at Grand Cafe L'Aquila Center City. And Jamie's like, oh, couldn't get enough of Grand Cafe L'Aquila on Thursday? And then I just pointed to Trey because I was there Sunday. Trey was there Saturday night.
Yes.
And they made the fine lasagna.
Yes, they made the lasagna again. Beautiful. Just really good. I was ranting and raving about it to my family. I'm like, you know what? We got to go check this place out. And I really hit my people up, and they made the lasagna for me.
There you go. See that?
Quite tasty.
I didn't get my...
Everybody approved.
Wait, you got four plates of lasagna at the table?
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's great. Yeah. As soon as he said that, I was like, I want some lasagna.
I told you, my Aunt Ann probably is going to make that for Super Bowl. My Super Bowl for the Farzetta family is the family reunion, pretty much. And Aunt Ann usually makes that pasta gaina, the lasagna itself.
Okay.
And so I'll bring some bricks in.
Okay. Yeah.
If there's leftovers, I can't be sure if there's going to be leftovers.
Well, then we'll just go to the party. Right, Trey? We never get invited to anything Farzetta, do we?
Well, we did.
We went to the house, but we had to move furniture to get there.
That's true. That's true.
Right?
Well, the second time. The salt cave.
That's true.
We did the salt cave,
That's correct, yes.
And so you had to take us all the way up there, an hour away, to get us to hang out.
You guys came over. We had the pizzas. We did. Oh, wait, you didn't have any pizza, because I think you guys had to leave early.
Wait, when was it? Yeah, no. That was the day we... Was that from furniture moving day?
No.
That was a different...
That was the second time I had to...
I apologize. God bless you.
But I will say this. I had a jam-packed weekend. And it included helping knock that Star Wars movie off the off their pedestal. Went and saw 1917.
Oh, you know what I want to watch?
I've heard great things.
Let me just say this. Dinner and a show. Because I also did that lounge chair thing for the first time. The lounge chair theater thing.
I'm so afraid I would fall asleep in those.
In
a movie like that, it'll keep your attention.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's like a slow, like, character development movie, I might pass out.
That's the only way I watch a movie.
What, fall asleep first time?
No.
Lounge?
The lounge chairs.
Oh, yeah.
Over in Jersey, I mean, it's kind of regular.
Well, they just built one in the Fashion District.
Yeah, it's Market East.
Is how I'm going to say it forever. just like that. I'll be like, oh, fine, I'll call it the Fashion District if you want me to. But just realize I'm going to call it the Fashion District.
And then I'll say, you mean Market East?
Oh, you mean the gallery?
Fashion District?
Yes, exactly. That's where I went to see it.
Where's the Fashion District?
If you want to know where the Fashion District is, it's the gallery.
It's that 9th and Market?
Yeah, pretty much.
10th and Market?
Yeah, around that.
It's the old gallery of all?
No, except you didn't say a gallery. You said, gallery.
Oh, gallery.
Yeah, gallery.
So it's the old gallery of all?
Yeah, pretty much.
So now that's now the Fashion District?
Correct, that is correct.
Okay, all right, I was just checking.
Yeah, just make sure you sip tea as you're saying.
Okay, all right.
With a pinky out.
But it was nice. Yeah, I will say this, despite, me wanting to hold on to my, youth, it is the Fashion District now, and it's very nice. It's lovely.
Can you still get your hair cut in the Fashion District? Because back in the day, when I first moved up here, oh, man, that used to be the hangout.
That's really?
But now it's the Fashion District.
See, it's catching on.
Yeah.
It's catching on already.
I like it.
You started something.
Yeah, so we did all that, and then I made it home in time to watch the 49ers. They're good football.
Yeah.
The Vikings, not so much. And then the Ravens be terrible at football.
Yeah.
Now, I saw people saying, dust off the, I forget who it was that said it, but dust off the...
Bill Polian.
No, not Bill Polian. Not that, not the Lamar Jackson versus Russell Wilson and all that stuff. But I saw people bring up the argument of rest in week 17 if you've already clinched a bye and all that stuff. And I'm like, nah, I'm not going to go there. Because where I am going to go is where I go every single time, every single place I go after the Eagles are eliminated. And really, it's not just specific to football. But every time I watch the following week of postseason play, or even the first week of postseason play if my team's not in it, I always think, why the hell aren't we here? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's very easy. Like the Sixers during the process years. Why aren't we here? And I look and I go, well, it's because we're trying to lose. Oh, okay, that explains it. Like, that's an easy one. But yesterday, it was a tough pill to swallow, especially watching the Seahawks play against the Green Bay Packers, and especially watching some specific plays throughout all of playoff weekend.
Yeah.
It was absolutely divisional round of the playoffs. Throughout the weekend, watching specific plays here and there just made me go, oh, what the hell? Why aren't we here?
Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting there watching it, and at 8 o'clock, I had to turn away from Seattle because it was all about who shot James St. Patrick. You see.
What?
Oh, it's a huge thing right now. It's going on TV.
What? What?
Who shot James St. Patrick?
Who's James St. Patrick?
I have no idea what you're talking
about.
It's
Ghost on Power.
What? Ah.
Yeah. So at 8 o'clock, you know, Miss is like, whoa.
You switched out?
Hey, we'll check the score. But we about to find out who shot James St. Patrick, you see.
Who is James St. Patrick?
Oh, he's Ghost. His name is Ghost.
His name is Ghost?
Yes, on Power.
On Power.
Yes, show that we watch.
It's on Stars. 50 on Cent's Stars. The producer. Yeah, apparently, it's very good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Right now, it's dragging out a little bit. But, you know, we're trying to... we're in now. Yeah, yeah, you know, so... They have three more episodes, three more suspects. You got to figure it out. Because right now.
So you don't even know?
No. It's like it's a mystery.
That is interesting.
You know, it takes me back. It made me do some research. You know, it hasn't been something this watched to say, like, okay, who shot who? Since J.R.
J.R., yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The year was 1980.
Yeah,
the day
was.
After my November 21st. Who shot J.R.?
That was the date that the JR fellow was shot on the Dallas show.
Yeah, that's when it was revealed.
November
21st, 1980.
Oh.
Oh, it was huge.
Yeah.
I just know the reference from, I think, Wedding Singer, the movie Wedding Singer.
Yeah, man, you had to figure out. Yeah, you had to hang in there, man, to see. They you know what? They were over 350 million people to tune into that.
It was unbelievable. I never watched the show, but I tuned in to see who shot JR.
Yeah, man.
And I think it was Victoria Principal was the one who shot him.
Yeah, it was his sister-in-law.
Yeah, okay, it was.
It was his wife's sister who he was smashing on the side.
Oh! Well, that's a report. Per sources, they were doing the hibbity-dibbity on the side. Well, I didn't see that. I'm gonna watch it now because you're selling me on it.
Yeah, so who shot James St. Patrick?
We will play a little Fanatic on Films. Well, now I give my movie review officially of 1917.
Mm-hmm.
I will give my official movie review on it. I will give away nothing. I will say I didn't recognize the one guy. He was from Game of Thrones. He was the Tommen Baratheon, the guy that like threw himself out the window. in Game of Thrones, not in the movie. Yeah. I'm not ruining it. But anyway, so we'll go get to that. But why aren't we here? Why aren't we in the first round of the play or second round of the playoffs? Because we got bounced out of the first round. But why was that? So in my soul searching as an Eagles fan over the weekend, watching all this football, saying why aren't we a part of this? Why am I not prepping for another Eagles game? I come across this little story that came out this morning from one Mr. Marcus Hayes of Inquirer.com, and the headline of the story was basically along the lines of Eagles didn't advance because veteran players were soft.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, that's a damning headline.
That's something.
And so I'm like, all right, you got me. Clickety click clack, right? A little clickbait. And I click on it. And I'm reading the story, and sure as hell, wouldn't you know, there was no word soft used in the story at all. But hey, you got me, Inquirer.com. Good hustle. And as I'm doing the soul searching of trying to figure out why the Eagles aren't part of this, I'm coming across quotes like this from Marcus Hayes' story today, Inquirer.com. Can't help but think... we should be there, but why aren't we? That's always what I think about stuff, right? When it comes to a weekend like this. So when it comes to what Malcolm Jenkins had to say, they finally played with a lot of grit the last 4 weeks of the season. We had a lot of talent in the first few weeks. If we could combine that grit with that talent, we'd be right there. Now, that's not right there as in second round of the playoffs. That's right there as in be there for a Super Bowl. Like, be at least in the Super Bowl. We had at times we relied on our talent, and we coasted. That's what Malcolm Jenkins told Marcus Hayes at Inquirer.com. Now, apparently these quotes came from the day after the season, after they got bounced out against the Seahawks. So I don't know if Marcus was just holding on to this because I didn't see these quotes anywhere else. Trey, Bob, Jamie, do you guys see these quotes anywhere else? Malcolm Jenkins saying that we relied on our talent and we coasted. So that lets me know that once you-know-what hit the fan, the Eagles needed to kick it into high gear. So they went into scramble mode, essentially. And I still have no doubt in my mind they would have beaten the Seahawks, and they would have been playing. So when I answered this question, my first answer was, oh, the reason the Eagles aren't playing is because Carson Wentz got hurt last week. That's the reason they're not playing. But then I read these other quotes from Malcolm Jenkins, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. You think about all the turmoil. Forget about the injuries for a second. But think about the turmoil on top of those injuries. And as Marcus Hayes points out in the column, remember Lane Johnson saying that guys were showing up late to meetings?
Yeah.
Guys were messing up in practice. Malcolm Jenkins calling himself out for missing coverage in the Vikings game. Orlando Scandrick after that coming out saying, oh, there's no team unity basically on this team right now. They had so many different storylines come out. Alshon Jeffrey.
When Lane said that, the first thing that popped into my mind was, oh, he's calling out Jason Peters. Because Jason Peters practices different than the entire team. He has his own warm-up regimen that's different from the entire team. Like, he's just different. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, when I heard that, I went, oh, Lane just called out Peters.
That was the first name that jumped to mind.
Yeah.
Trey, do you go with Jason Peters?
I don't know.
That's what I heard when I heard Lane say that.
I really don't remember.
Because those comments, they jumped out in neon to me.
Okay. I thought it was more than one name.
If it's possible. Yeah, that's just what my interpretation of it
was. Okay. All right. I would think it would be bigger if he's saying guys are showing up like late. But it could be. Absolutely.
Well, that's even worse if it's multiple.
100%. But, I mean, we focus on injuries. We focus on things that happen within the game, obviously, because that's right there in front of us. But what we kind of pushed aside a little bit was all the turmoil that surrounded this Eagles season. So when I'm watching football yesterday and I'm watching the Ravens go down, I'm watching Patrick Mahomes basically put together a highlight reel of football, which was just nothing short of incredible yesterday. Eric Fisher, by the way, shout out to that young man. The celebration, Stone Cold Steve Austin in the end zone was pretty awesome. I'm not even a big wrestling guy. Bob, I thought of you. It was pretty wild.
I was wondering, man, is the NFL going to like step in and tell these guys? Because it's happening more and more now. Mm-hmm. Guys go to the sidelines and somebody has a drink and they grab it.
You mean they're having fun?
I know, but that's the NFL, right? That's the NFL. They see fun, they take it away. So, you know, you wonder if they're going to say something.
What, dousing yourself in beer?
Yeah.
You can't
do that anymore.
Why would you want to do that?
My first thought was, oh, he's going to be sticky. That's going to be gross.
Yeah, it's going to smell.
Yeah, you're going to stink.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to smell like beer during the game. That would make me, like, nauseous.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I also felt bad for the fan because that was like $50 worth of beer right there.
An $18
total.
Yeah, right.
All right, I guess you can have it.
And then I had a worse thought. It's like, what if that fan didn't want to walk all the way up their front row? What if they didn't want to go all the way to the concession or the...
To go get another one.
Yeah.
And who's going to reimburse them?
I was thinking more so, what if they didn't want to go to the restroom?
It's me.
Little pee in the bottle?
Bam, boom, right there.
Yeah.
I just think worst case scenario.
Oh, so you think he was smelling something different?
I'm just saying is all.
He gave himself a golden shower.
Do people put regular beers on the little stoop thing in front of them, the little shelf? Because that was on like the football field side of things.
Oh, on like the outlet box.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Mark took it a totally different way. Yeah.
That's dark, Mark.
Well, wow. I'm a dark person. I just watched a war movie. I'm feeling rather dark this weekend. And I didn't get to watch my Eagles play this weekend, unfortunately, either. I did get to watch my Sixers play this weekend, and they lost.
That should make you happy, right?
No, it didn't. It didn't make me happy at all. Not even a little bit. Because the weekend started off with the news getting announced about Jadeveon Clowney not getting fined. And then Philadelphia Twitter lit on fire, right? And then there was a play. If you watch the Ravens game, there was a play that unfolded that was almost identical to the Carson Wentz play where he was hitting the helmet. So I think the number one name that people are going to be keeping track of in terms of controversy in Philadelphia, Jeffrey Simmons. He's the rookie defensive lineman for the Titans that came down on Lamar Jackson's helmet. And there was no flag, no penalty on the play. But it was, again, helmet to helmet. Now, I'll say this. it would have been more blatant in this regard with Lamar Jackson because he was down. He wasn't going down. He was down. He was already down. Play was dead. And then you see this guy, Jeffrey Simmons, come over and hit him while he was down and hit him in the helmet as well. So if the league wants to announce that they're not going to be fining, or word leaks that they're not going to be fining Jadeveon Clowney, I would like to see what happens with Jeffrey Simmons if he is fined or not fined by the NFL this week. Because there was no flag on the play, very similar to the Carson Wentz play. And as I relate everything back to Philadelphia that I watched over this weekend, that right there is probably the number one thing I'm going to be relating back to Philadelphia. Because there was also a play in the Packers game, in the Packers-Seahawks game, that was very similar to what happened to Josh McCown from KJ Wright in the Seahawks game here in Philadelphia last weekend, where Wright came across and basically took the helmet off of Josh McCown as he was rolling out to the left, and there was no penalty called. But yesterday, very similar play. I believe it was a tight end for the Packers. I don't remember who it was, but it was Jadeveon Clowney coming over, and on this particular play, he was flagged. So in my mind, I'm just relating everything back to Philly as I continue to think, well, why the hell aren't we playing this weekend? It's basically, it's bitching, it's moaning, it's whining, and I'm fine with it.
Well, I think the referees allow every town in the NFL that has a team to bitch and whine and moan after every game. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. You know, I have never seen anything like you have this new technology, and yesterday the Green Bay wins on a play that looks like it's at least a half a yard short.
Mm-hmm.
You get penalties that are called this game that aren't called the week prior. Penalties that clearly are penalties that aren't getting called. Why? To say, oh, I can't throw a flag there. That is a penalty, but last week they didn't call it, so I can't call it this week?
Mm-hmm.
Is the NFL that much of a conspiracy?
There was one other phrase, but the two that jumped to mind of phrases I've never heard in officiating. One was incidental helmet-to-helmet contact. So that was new after the Eagles-Seahawks game. And then in yesterday's Packers-Seahawks game, I heard the official say additional footage. Have you ever heard that before?
No, that's
that was new. Addie, my wife, was sitting next to me, and she goes, wait, what? Were they not sure the first time they announced it?
Evidently.
And I was like, I've never seen that before.
I've never heard it before.
Yeah.
Two completely different phrases that I've never heard brought up before, ever, ever, ever. And they got brought up yesterday in the playoffs.
Yeah,
so
it was bizarre.
If you have to say...
And I still got it wrong.
Yeah.
Look, I bet the Packers, and that won me a bet, but they were wrong. And they reviewed that twice.
Well, additional footage, Jamie. Yeah. Per additional footage. It's like you didn't use all the footage the first time?
Yeah, it was weird. That was weird.
What the hell's the matter with you? So if you had to say the number...
And by the way, that same referee was Cleet Blakeman,
yeah,
who is the guy that, remember, Dallas game last year, no clear recovery?
Yeah.
And there was a play early in that game where there was...
No
clear recovery with a clear recovery.
And they had LaFleur on the sidelines. You could read his lips perfectly.
Yeah.
It was an F, it was a B, and it was an S.
Yeah.
Put those together and you have what he said.
Does the NFL, would it help at this point, because they're a $1 billion conglomerate industry, have full-time referees that are like maybe a little more held accountable or graded better? Or because these guys are part-time employees.
Yeah.
Like,
what the hell did they get like 7 years ago when they went on strike and we had the replacement refs?
Probably better, I don't know.
Higher salaries?
Yeah, higher salaries, better packages.
Well, okay.
But they're part-time employees. Like, these guys are lawyers Monday through Friday.
Right.
And then they just go and referee a game. Like, shouldn't they be full-time employees?
Yeah.
Like, would that help the product?
Probably.
It wouldn't hurt.
Although,
if they're reviewing stuff, study, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Actually putting more effort into it?
Although, I did enjoy the replacement referees. That was a fun
time.
Yeah,
that only cost, what was it, Seattle Green Bay.
Remember that? It was Seattle, Fail Mary. Yeah. It was wild. But if you had to say, what's the number one reason why the Eagles were not playing on Sunday or on Saturday, what's the number one reason?
You don't have a player like Devontae Adams?
Like, I watched Patrick Mahomes, and I go, okay, all right.
That's thought that went in my head there was
freaking incredible.
Would Carson Wentz ever be able to lead 6 consecutive touchdown drives?
After being down, what was it, 21-0?
24-0. 24-0. Fourth largest playoff come from behind victory in NFL history.
5 touchdown passes, like it was nothing.
Yeah.
Would your receivers make the play for you?
Well, that was the next question I asked myself.
Yeah, because I think he could throw it.
Mm-hmm.
But you need somebody to catch it.
And the offensive design to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that
it's all
that
a big
plays
pie.
Into it.
But the other thing was, I see Travis Kelce catch that ball 1 inch beyond the goal line. that Patrick Mahomes is rolling out to his left, and he just kind of dumps the ball off, sidearm.
Yeah.
Dumps it off to Travis Kelce right over the goal line. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's like a feat of athleticism few possess.
Knows enough to drag his back foot so that his whole body isn't over the line of scrimmage. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just, he was incredible yesterday. And going on that, the plays that Andy Reid calls, you have a running back swinging out of the backfield. I think it was the touchdown that maybe gave them the lead. And it's just a Mahomes get it, and just it's like, run, I'll throw it because you're faster than everybody else. And it's a boom. It's just like it's right on top of him, catches it, runs it in the end zone. That team is so fast and so well put together. That's one of the reasons the Eagles aren't playing yesterday also.
Okay. I mean, I'll say this much. For the argument that we had on, I guess it was either Wednesday or Thursday, about Doug Peterson being a great head coach or not, it has been a really bad go of it for Doug Peterson since that conversation. Because you had the press conference, obviously, where he didn't exactly look like Einstein. Neither did Howie Roseman, for that matter. Then you had two guys let go from the coaching staff. And then you get these comments highlighted by Malcolm Jenkins in the Inquirer today, where he talks about the turmoil that went on throughout the season. And all of that shouldn't exist if you have veteran leadership policing the locker room and a head coach policing the locker room. Because let's not forget, Doug did something drastic in those last 4 weeks of the season, Trey. He went out there in the last 4 weeks of the season and he said, you know what, put the pads on. We're going to go hit each other. Mm-hmm. Why not do something drastic earlier in the season when you saw that your team was sputtering? Like, it's really wild when you go back and think about it, of all the adversity that this team faced that really had nothing to do with injuries. I mean, maybe you were obviously going down the end of the bench because of the injuries, but when you think about the turmoil, the drama, the BS that we went through with this season following this football team, man, if you were able to throw some of that out the window, as Malcolm Jenkins is talking about today, then yeah, maybe you're going to be all right. Maybe if you're actually able to push all that drama, that BS aside, maybe you can actually concentrate on football and winning some games for yourself.
Yeah, and then the players need to be accountable. You know, I know that you want Doug to police the locker room, but the reality of it is that you need your leaders in that locker room to police it and make sure that everybody is doing what they're supposed to be doing and being where they're supposed to be. And sometimes I think that, yeah, when Lane did say that, I was, you know, you were like, well, who are the leaders on this team? What's going on? Because he's not talking about rookie somebody. These are some of the guys that are supposed to be the guys that's leading the pack that are showing up late or not giving everything that they have in practice. So it bleeds into the game. So
I would love to know from the players. Sorry, Mark. I would love to know from the players, is Doug Peterson of now the same Doug Peterson that you dumped the Gatorade on after the Washington win?
Right.
Because when that happened, it was like, wait, what? All they did was win a game in Washington, opening game of the season. But then it became more as that season went on, like, wow, these guys, they love him, and they want to play for him. And it led to a Super Bowl championship with a lot of backups. Is that the same Doug Peterson that – do the players feel that's the same Doug Peterson that's leading this team now?
Here's the thing. I think it is the same Doug Peterson. I think these players are different.
Mm-hmm.
I think these players, you know, got it in their head that they could still survive off that underdog mentality. We all we got, we all we need, because God knows we've heard that enough. And then you see Malcolm Jenkins said we could rely on talent.
We
sometimes rely on our talent and we coast. 9-7 was the two games was the most they were over 500 all season long. Two games, 9-17. We rely on our talent and we coast. What does that mean? Does that mean you rely on your quarterback? Because I don't see a hell of a lot of talent elsewhere other than Miles Sanders, offensive line, but they had their injury issues. I can't look at the secondary and look at them and go, oh, yeah, they're fine. They'll coast on that talent. What, are you kidding me? Like, to see those comments today, as I am doing the soul searching from why wasn't I watching our Eagles this weekend, it doesn't make you feel better. It makes you feel worse because it lets you know that it was right there for the taking as far as advancing, as far as having a better season overall. And to see that quote, we sometimes rely on our talent and we coast, when you're a 9-7 football team. You know what that shows me, Trey? That shows me, oh, we rely on our talent. Oh, we're Super Bowl champions. Yeah, 2 years ago, you're a totally different team. I absolutely think Doug Peterson is the same coach. I was yelling about things in 2017 that I was yelling about this past season. 2017, second week of the season against the Chiefs. Run the damn ball, Doug. And they went on a run after that. This year, I was saying it multiple times. We were saying, where's the screen game? Miles Sanders is your playmaker. Go ahead and go out there and make things happen for yourself. But to see that, we sometimes rely on our talent and we coast. As I'm looking back on this whole season, after watching this weekend of football and watching teams like the Ravens go down, watching the Packers struggle against the Seahawks, which they always seem to do, I just can't help but think to myself, oh, well, what the hell? We could have been right there.
Doesn't Malcolm Jenkins play in the defensive backfield?
That is correct.
What the hell talent back there is he looking at that was coasting?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Him and McLeod. I just saw something, as you were
and
saying
he's
this.
Not even in the backfield all that much.
Bleeding Green Nation just had a tweet out. The Eagles are the only team that hasn't drafted a Pro Bowl defensive back since 2003.
That's just great.
So what talent is he talking about?
Lito, right?
Yeah.
That's good times. All right, we got Terry, we got Vic. Sarasota Vic. We got open lines after that, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Tell me, why didn't we watch the Birds this weekend? Number one reason, they were bounced out a little earlier than we would have liked. Time at the Fanatic, 622.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So we like to make fun of ourselves quite often. Is it making fun of ourselves if it's true, though?
I like making fun of Jamie more than anything.
Jamie just came in here and reported that Jamie fell down again.
Oh, no.
Big old ton of bricks.
On the golf course, Trey.
You fell again, dude?
I didn't realize that the bottom of my cleats had mud cakes all over them. So I was looking on an embankment for my ball and... just mud on mud, and I wasn't bad. I just got dirty.
Okay,
like real muddy.
It's embarrassing.
No injuries
with him.
No injuries. No, not even a little bit. It was just more. I had mud everywhere.
Has he fallen twice with you guys?
He fell once with Trey. I wasn't there that day.
That was something.
Yeah, I saw him tripping almost.
That was
go
an
down
epic
one time.
One.
Yeah,
the one with Trey was.
Whew. Yeah, it was bad. I thought I was going to have a helicopter fly in.
It looked like probably like my knee just broke.
Like, we need to rush him to the hospital now.
And then it was the wings. That was another time.
Yeah, I ate it.
That was great.
The last year and a half, ever since kind of we got together, has kind of been the clumsiest of my life.
Are you drinking more?
More, but less. Like more regularly,
no,
but less drinking. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah.
No?
Yes, it does.
When you drink, it's a grand slam. It's not a single.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I got you.
Yeah.
All right.
Whereas before, I used to pace myself and go for the grand slam. Now I'm just a singles hitter.
So reverse what I said. I got you. All right. Copy that. Yeah, and then, it was the wings. By the way, shout out to the wings. Nice little victory over the weekend. Yeah. A home opener action. Kevin Crowley, the big cat.
Saw a nice goal from him.
That's right, man. 300 goals.
Kyle and his boys, my boy Kyle and his friends all went to the game.
Look at
the wings game.
Yeah. It's a good family fun, man.
Yeah.
Good family fun. Let's get to Terry in Quakertown. Terry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Terry, why weren't we watching the Eagles this past weekend?
They just didn't have the playmakers. They had nothing to do with Carson Wentz getting hurt. They lost by the same score November 24th. Seattle had Metcalf, Lockett. The Eagles had nobody like that. The only guy who could go 40 yards was Miles Sanders. That's the reason they lost.
Terry, I can't help but think, if they would have had Carson Wentz, because the Seahawks weren't the same team that beat the Eagles 17-9 back in week 12, I think it was. I think they would have won that game. They would have beaten the Seahawks in round one of the playoffs if Carson Wentz stayed healthy. And you know what? They might have even beaten the Packers at Lambeau Field yesterday, because don't forget, you would have had DeSean Jackson back. You most likely would have had Lane Johnson back. Like, this would have been a much better football team than what walked off the field in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, Seattle was hurt too. Both teams were hurt, I think. So, I don't know. I just don't see it. I mean, they just didn't have enough guys. I don't think so, but that's the reason I think they didn't make it.
All right, brother. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it, Terry. That's the other thing. I saw people saying, like, don't worry about this game. The Eagles wouldn't have won it either against the Packers. And yeah, maybe not. Number one, I would have liked that opportunity, Trey. Mm-hmm. And number two, they would have had Deshaun back in this offense. They probably would have had Lane Johnson as well. Maybe they actually would have won.
Yeah.
I mean,
possibly.
I'm not going to be doom and gloom about it. I think they actually could have beaten the Packers again at Lambeau.
Yes, I think you would have had a good shot, especially having Lane coming back and then, you know, Deshaun Jackson added back into the fold. Now, before you had Jordan that was helping out with that run game.
Mm-hmm.
And playing at Lambeau Field that time of year is pretty tough. It's cold.
It gets breezy.
Yeah,
it was 23 last night.
Yeah.
Which isn't even that bad for Lambeau.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like, yeah. You know, mid-January Lambeau? It should be worse.
Yeah,
it should be a lot worse.
But then again, it was 67 degrees here yesterday.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Oh, it was lovely. Oh, my God. I actually went out and walked yesterday.
Yeah.
The little toots and toots. We went out. We went walking.
Nice.
Like wow. 40, we walked to Grand Cafe L'Aquila, and then we walked back. And I'm like, man, I hate walking, but this is nice. It's a beautiful
day. You hate walking?
I'd rather be inside.
How long is that a walk from your house?
25?
No, it's like 40, 45.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Pre-style walk, especially with the baby.
Yeah, that's a nice little stroll there.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's Uber. Nice. I think I'll Lyft or Uber next time.
No.
I like strolling with the stroller.
I'm good. See, I'll say this about Toots. Toots is a notoriously slow walker.
Yeah.
And then add Lil Toots. And we're going at a snail's pace.
That's no fun. No, yeah, when I'm walking, I want to get there. Like, I like walking.
I'm a slow walker.
Are you?
Just because if I trip,
well,
I can recover.
You're a big man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just because.
Yeah.
Jamie, take notes.
I can recover. If I'm in fast, you know, mode, mm-hmm.
And
you trip,
down.
Boom, it's ground.
Yeah, I hear
but
you.
But if I trip when I'm walking slow, I can recover.
Gotcha.
My athleticism kicks in.
Gotcha. Let's get Sarasota Vic up here. Sarasota Vic, do you walk slow?
Hello, guys.
Hey, man.
Hey, I just want to follow up and make a comment. There was a fella called in this past Friday chastising Carson Wentz for taking himself out of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Of course. Yeah.
Anyway, and he compared him to Brady. Give me a break. If that would have happened to Brady, first of all, there would have been three or four flags thrown. It would have looked like it was raining yellow. And they would have carried Brady out on a stretcher and airlifted him to a hospital. And Clowney would have been ejected from the game and fined $75,000 or $100,000. I just don't understand his logic there. I mean, the guy, Wentz, I always been a believer in Wentz. Actually, I think I heard you, somebody saying this morning that maybe we need to look for a backup quarterback, which is probably a good idea. Somebody in the draft, even if it's a sixth rounder, but somebody. Anyway, but that's all. It irked me the whole weekend. I don't know who this guy was, but he couldn't have been an Eagles fan.
Yeah, probably not.
No, anyway. But there are a lot of things contributed to why they didn't get there. They had a slow start. The whole season, all that controversy and everything. But I still love the team. I'll never not love them. And I'm going to celebrate next Sunday, even though they're not there, because it's my birthday.
Oh, hey, Vic, happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
Anyway. What number is this one for you?
77.
Look at
atta
you,
boy.
It's still running a 4.540.
Yeah,
you're the man.
No. It might be a 5.4 now.
God bless you, Vic. Thanks for the call, buddy.
God, love you.
Love you back.
Thanks,
buddy.
Man.
Oh, that's... God bless him, man. Seriously, that's amazing. But I remember that call, and I can bitch and moan about guys that maybe not what Josh McCown did, where he tore his hamstring basically off.
I'll tell you what. That's a story.
Yeah, jeez. And when you saw him limping out there, you knew he was in pain, but, you know, that's what it was.
My God.
I saw Brandon Brooks and him tweeting about their upcoming month on the couch. Because Brandon Brooks was like, yeah, a lot of Postmates in my future.
Did you see how real quick? Did you see how Trey took care of him, though? Said, if you need a ride, give me a call.
I got you.
You're a good man.
Yeah,
solid. It was Brandon or
Brandon?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Josh said, I'll send you some smoky Carolina barbecue if you send me some cheesesteaks. So they're rehab buddies on the couch.
in different states?
Yeah. I saw Brandon yesterday order up some Domino's and start a little Netflix binge. And I was like, all right, man.
Should watch Messiah. I watched it
Did
again.
Did you rewatch it?
I rewatched it. It was awesome.
Oh, so well, maybe you have two cinematic reviews on the program.
All right. I can't wait to get the details we missed the first time. like everything.
It's the story of the modern day Jesus.
Neither could Trey. That's why I went back.
That's all he had, though.
That's
all it was.
It's modern day Jesus.
Yeah. But what else? Trey, what's it?
I don't know.
I think he plays football. I don't know. I don't know what he does. 610-632-0977. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. You know what? 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC. For all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area, visit unitedrentals.com. Coming up, I will give you my official movie review for 1917. Time of The Fanatic is 641.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up in a minute, we're going to get into some more of those Malcolm Jenkins comments about why the season ended the way it did, unfortunately. What is this, Trey? Is this you?
Of course.
What do we got? What is this?
Well, Justin Timberlake. Drank you away.
All right.
You can never box me in, Mark.
No, you're a man of many talent. You are...
He's a peacock, Mark. Let him fly.
When people say, what's Trey really like? I say, he is a real-life Renaissance man.
I am.
He is a... Like, some people say, oh, he's a Renaissance man. No, he's a real-life Renaissance man.
I know. I listen to a lot of different things, man. I like this one.
Yeah, but no, you're a man of many talents.
Yeah.
Like, you threw humans around like rag dolls for a number of years.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I'm going to go paint now.
Yeah.
Like, it's awesome.
Yeah, I'll go paint, sit around, have some wine.
Very diverse.
Yeah. But right now, I can't.
Did I ever tell you the sound a peacock makes?
What's that?
I think I've said this before. The sound a peacock makes?
No.
Hell! Boom. That's the sound of a peacock right there.
Cool.
Just want to let you know. My uncle had peacocks on his farm. All my cousins and I, we could all take peacocks. Yeah, in Maryland, I had to go there.
Maryland's so weird.
Yeah, it totally is, dude.
Which cousin?
It's like Florida, like that side of the family. Yeah.
Oh, does she like farm animals?
Bobby,
I'm just wondering.
It's a new twist.
That didn't make its way into the best man speech. Your sister's a freak. We brought the peacocks we have that's usually in the bedroom. So anyway, 1917. For a transition for you, I have never watched a movie and not known how to relay it to the. I can't say anything other than I loved it, and it was a fantastic movie. But the specific details as to why I loved it so much would give away so much of the plot.
Oh yeah,
like I can't give away. That's all I can say is go see this movie. You won't regret it.
It's a little Saving Private Ryan-ish in that they're trying to save a family.
Yeah, so that's in the trailer.
Okay, yeah,
but I can't tell you anything else.
I've heard the cinematography is what makes it great. Like, it's just the way it's shot.
No, like the storyline is amazing. The writing's amazing. The acting's amazing. The cinematography is out of this world. The special effects are just incredible. that's all I can say is go see this movie. If you like war movies in the least bit, if you like great stories and all that, this is a phenomenal story. And it was all like not even 2.5 hours.
Wow, that's up my alley.
Yeah, I loved this movie.
Is this something that I can take my boys to see?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, because you know why? It'll make them appreciate life.
Yeah, and the dedication that you need to have towards the other.
Yeah.
You know.
And it also really explains British people very well.
Okay.
Like, these guys are getting shelled in World War One, and they're just like, tea? it's amazing. Like, okay. I so much respect for our Brit friends.
Uh-huh.
But, Sam, you saw this movie as well.
Yeah, we went Saturday night.
No, you would agree, because of all the complexities. And it's not like it gives you a headache or anything like that with trying to follow the story.
Not at all.
But there's so many things that are interesting about this movie.
Yeah, so I actually am not a fan of war movies because they normally just put me to sleep. So that's what I was expecting. I know. Well, because normally, like, they drag on, they're slow. But this one was so captivating.
Yeah.
So I was actually into it the entire time.
So much so that?
Yeah, I ate popcorn the entire time, and I guess the butter made my stomach upset. So I ate so much popcorn, I went home and puked.
What?
I know. I didn't eat dinner because I was like, I'm going to eat all this popcorn.
And did you load it up with butter?
Yeah,
How do you not?
To the point where, like, I loaded the top, and then, like, we ate it during the whole entire commercial break.
Out?
And I went back out.
Oh, man.
What? You puked and rallied.
That's
it. To all the kids
all
out
the
there,
popcorn.
That's how you do it.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
What, puked and rally?
No, a grown adult puking for popcorn at the movies.
I can't control myself when it comes to food.
Didn't Dion tell you, don't eat so much of that, you'll spoil your dinner? Nothing?
No.
All right. Where'd you see it?
Manioc.
Oh, you saw it? Oh, okay. That's a nice little theater.
It is nice.
You didn't see it in the Fashion District?
No.
I did. It was great. I saw it had the leather seats. First time I ever did it. I was a little nervous about this whole experience because they tell you you could order food. You can, like, have food delivered to you.
Oh, was it
you.
A movie tavern?
Yeah, one of those Johns, I guess.
You can have food delivered to your seat?
So you go and you order it at the bar or the regular concession stand,
whoa,
and then they bring it to your seat.
There's a bar?
Yeah.
Movie
taverns?
There's
alcohol in there?
Yeah.
Movie tavern. Yeah.
They're the greatest. They have, like, actual restaurant quality food, and they'd serve it to your seat.
Yeah, I had a Jack Daniels. Yeah,
it was nice.
So this is in the Fashion District.
This
is in the Fashion District.
Yeah.
They have movie taverns everywhere, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we don't have bars in our movie theaters in Jersey?
No.
Wait. All right. New concept here. So you can take your popcorn back out and rebutter it?
Yeah, because they have, like, a butter yourself machine.
Yeah, why can't you do that?
The one was broken, though, so it was dwindling down.
Dude, I don't go to movies, so I didn't know that they had it.
That's right. It's like a new thing now.
A lot's happened since 1993 when you saw Titanic.
It was 98.
98. Sorry.
Come on, Jamie. Jeez.
I usually bring a Yeti, and I fill up the Yeti with the butter, so I can just do it right. I can just do that at my seat, and then if I'm feeling real saucy, I do shots of it.
Well, I'm used to sneaking beer cans in the theater, so the whole concept
kind of takes the fun away.
Here's the thing, not as cool anymore.
Here's the thing I didn't like about seeing the movie in this context. It was, like, too much like home. Like, I would fall asleep.
That's my fear.
Like, if the movie didn't have, you know, mortar shells going off every other second, I probably would have passed out.
Wait, did you bring Little Toots?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Right. Little Toots was home with somebody.
One of the neighbors was checking in on her.
We just had the radiator there. We just, you know, made sure she was just by the radiator. She was fine. Kept her warm. Mike and Del Ran. Our generation's killing it as parents. Mike and Del Ran, what's going on?
Hey, funny story about me and the Butter Yourself station. I went on a date with this chick who loved a lot of butter, so she loads this bag up, and by the time we came out of the movie, it had leaked through the bottom all over my pants. Look like I pissed myself. Terrible. And listen, I'm a slow walker. If you're a fast walker, go to the mall 30 minutes before the store is open with your New Balances on and walk fast. If you're walking slow, you get to take everything in, right? You're looking at everything. You're checking stuff out. We went to dinner the other night. Me and the wife had to walk from the parking garage around a corner, and everybody's trying to run around me. I'm like, yo, hey, slow down. Right? Enjoy life. Nothing's ever a rush.
Yeah, you got to get in the right lane, though, Mike, when you're walking.
Yeah.
You know, we're big guys. Sometimes we're in both lanes at the same time. listen, I'm not one of these kind of guys that now that the Eagles are out, I'm going to go root for another team all the time. Sometimes that sounds fraudulent, right? Like I wanted the Ravens to win, I guess, geographically, they're the next closest team. But if you don't want Andy Reid to win the Super Bowl, then you're just a bad person, and your parents did a bad job, and you're probably going to go to hell. That team looks phenomenal, and there isn't a guy left, coaching-wise, that deserves to win a Super Bowl more than Andy Reid. Would I have said that? Had the Eagles not won yet? Probably not. But since we got ours first, I'm pulling for Andy Reid and the Chiefs to win that Super Bowl because I think he deserves it.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you, Mike. The Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl, right? That's how that's going to work now?
I don't know. San Fran's nasty.
It certainly
feels like the Chiefs.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.